I'm speaking with Andy Lyman. He's a reporter over at New Mexico Political Report and the co-host of the Growing Forward podcast that explores the cannabis industry in New Mexico. First on the list, as always, is the chaos around the cannabis industry and the upcoming recreational market next year. So some of your reporting this week focused on medical cannabis purchase limits and the response some state agencies gave to a group of medical cannabis producers advocating for increased purchasing limits. Can you give us a little bit of a rundown of what's actually going on here?
Yeah, so just for a little quick background, Ultra Health and Duke Rodriguez are sort of at the center of this, and they're sort of built their own reputation for being, I think the word that many people have used to describe them, the company and Duke is litigious, right? That they file these lawsuits against the state, but generally there's these outcomes that arguably sort of benefit patients or bolster the program in some way or another. One of the more sort of notable ones was that Duke Rodriguez filed a lawsuit a couple of years ago against the state regarding how many plants producers can grow. And so the outcome of that was that he successfully got the increase from, it was 450 plants, now it's 1,750. The most recent sort of dust up between the two is that Ultra Health and four other medical cannabis producers wrote a letter to the Regulation and Licensing Department, as well as Department of Health, the two agencies that are sort of handing off responsibilities, right? DOH was in charge of the medical cannabis program. Regulation and Licensing will be in charge of commercial sales. And so he and some others wrote a letter saying, hey, the way that the law is written, we think patients were going to be buying more than their limit's going to go up. Currently, medical cannabis patients can buy up to 8 ounces in a rolling 90 day period, excuse me. And there's some nuances there that there's a different measurement for concentrates, but just for the sake of conversation, it's about 8 ounces every 90 days. In the new law, it says you can buy up to 2 ounces at any given time. So in theory, somebody could go into a commercial dispensary and buy 2 ounces every time, as long as they don't have more than 2 ounces on their person. If you think about it, you could hit that limit of 8 ounces pretty quickly. Within 4 trips to a dispensary, 2 ounces each, you could hit that. And so the argument there was, we're going to see an increase of purchases based on our reading of the law. Increased purchases means that we need more plants. So it's, again, getting back to that increased plant limit for medical cannabis producers. And so basically the state came back, confirmed with me once before, and then again in this letter back to them saying that no, they're sort of reading it differently. Their argument is that DOH is still going to be in charge of what's considered an adequate supply for patients. Yet there probably will be some rule changes in the future. And so we're not quite sure if that's going to increase purchase limits, plant limits, what exactly is going to happen in those. But as we stand now, it seems like Ultra Health is preparing to file another lawsuit against the state over this issue. There's some other things to keep in mind that that regulation and licensing ends on putting some sort of limits on production. That is written into the law that they're allowed to do that up until 2026. So I would expect there to be some sort of clarification in the rules that are going to follow in the sort of next few months to say maybe some clarification, maybe some increases. They haven't really said exactly what the rules are going to look like, but they are saying, you know, keep an eye out for these proposed rule changes that may or may not increase some of these things. Yeah, we'll see some clarification and some changes coming up, I think.
Moving away from cannabis, it seems kind of hard to do that right now. Yeah. But early voting for the special election is another topic I want to talk about for New Mexico's vacant CD1 seat, and that is underway right now, of course. The forerunners, for those who don't know, are Democratic Representative Melanie Stansberry and Republican Senator Mark Moores. There's also Libertarian Chris Manning and Independent Aubrey Dunn kind of in the background there. But KOB4 did have a televised debate earlier this week with three of the candidates, Stansberry, Moores, and Manning. For listeners who might not know, can you kind of give a rundown of who these people are and what platforms they were running on during this debate, what they were arguing for?
Yeah, so Melanie Stansberry, pretty, I guess for lack of a better term, dyed-in-the-wool Democrat. She's advocating for all the things that you would expect on that, you know, to to lower fossil fuel production, to, you know, she's an environmentalist by trade. So she's big on that. She's been pushing for this BREATHE Act, which is a big overhaul of criminal justice, or I should say policing. And then you've got Mark Moores, again, sort of a standard Republican. I think he's been being sort of pushed a lot. So people are waiting to hear from him. He sort of dances around this issue of whether the election was legitimate, the presidential election. But other than that, I mean, he's been in the state Senate for quite a while, and sort of a and same thing. And during that debate, actually, he took that police reform bill and just really, really tried to hammer Melanie Stansberry on that, and say how radical and how detrimental to our society all that would be. And then you've got Chris Manning, who is a libertarian. He had some interesting views on you know, how to, for border security and things like that. I know one of his big issues is healthcare. He's a former veteran, or is a veteran, and he really wants the healthcare reform, especially having to, he's gone through the VA system. And then Aubrey Dunn actually was apparently not invited to the debate. So he wasn't there. He's got some name recognition. He was the, you know, actually he's the only statewide, he's the only one that's won a statewide election out of the four of them. So they've all got interesting things. The debate in my mind was kind of interesting because Aubrey Dunn was out of it. Chris Manning definitely tried to take things and try to highlight the fact that he's sort of in the middle of these two. So, I mean, yeah, they're all pretty standard there. I mean, I think maybe the ones where you kind of have to look at individual issues would be Aubrey Dunn and maybe Chris Manning and where they fall on some of those things. But I know we're going to hear a lot about the BREATHE Act and a lot about environmental work.
Mm-hmm. Well, and as I said, early voting is underway for the election right now, and that'll end on May 29th. Election day is June 1st. But as we were talking earlier, you mentioned that voter turnout for the election is something you might look into for your reporting. If you could kind of explain what you're looking for, what you might see, what you're expecting to happen for voting turnout in the next couple of weeks.
Yeah, what I'll be doing in the next probably week or so is really trying to get a hold of some of those numbers. It's sort of a hard task to even look at those numbers because it's hard to compare, you know, to say apples to apples, is that we don't really have a recent special election to look at and compare numbers. The last special election we had like this was, I think, in 1997, which, of course, demographics are different, population numbers are different. And then even then, to look, to compare numbers, just the way things are broken down, right? So I believe the numbers they were giving us from the Secretary of State's office in the last general election were broken down by county. And so now we kind of have to probably look at what was the total number of folks who voted in the general election, and then just sort of progressively see how many people are voting each day. I would expect the early number voters, at least in the next couple of weeks, to be somewhat low. But then again, you know, like I said, it's hard to compare because this is such an expedited process compared to usually that, you know, in the first couple of weeks of early voting in most elections, there's not really a big turnout, but then we don't really have that same timeline. So maybe the first 2 weeks in general elections are now the first, you know, 5 days of early voting. So hopefully I'll get a hold of those numbers and be able to sort of do some comparisons based on previous elections.
Yeah, well, I'm really interested to see what you do. I'm talking with Andy Lyman. He's a New Mexico Political Report reporter. And as always, it's really nice talking to you, and thank you for coming on.
Yeah, thanks, Bryce.